Let me ask you a question. Anybody here needing a miracle? Tom's got both hands up over there. Tom thinks big. Needs some miracles. If you're needing a miracle today, you're in the right place. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Acts chapter 2. Been reading the first four or five chapters in Acts recently and going through those. I've read them really hundreds of times. And, you know, because when I'm reading the book of Acts, it's my people. This is where I come from. This is my lineage. This is my legacy. And so, you know, I want to read about me. And then I always love what the Bible says, that the latter house will be greater than the former. So I look at the book of Acts as our standard. But the Lord's saying to us, we're to go further. And he has that for us. And so I was, you know, reading about the day of Pentecost and all that happened there. And then Peter preaches his first sermon. And it's amazing. You can go ahead and read the sermon. He preaches the gospel, and it just shows you the power of being filled with the Holy Spirit and what that does in a person's life and how it gives you boldness and gives you utterance and, you know, empowerment. But I was just reading this in Acts 2, verse 22. I want to read that for you. And this is part of Peter's sermon. He says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know." A man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs. One of the translations, I think it's the New Living Translation, says that God publicly endorsed Jesus. He endorsed him. He backed him up with what? By miracles, signs, and wonders. If you do a little study on these words, the word miracle means a sign, a mark, a token that verifies or authenticates in a report. So the purpose of a miracle or supernatural events is to verify or authenticate the message. And so Jesus preached a message and God backed it up with miracles, signs, and wonders. The word sign means an official written notice that announced the final verdict of the court. It describes the signature or seal applied to a document to guarantee its authenticity, that it's authentic, that it's real. Miracles, signs, and wonders point to the fact that God is real, point to the fact that God is alive, point to the fact that God loves people, that he cares for people, that he wants to do good in people's lives. And the word sign also means it marks a key location in a city. It's like a road map, and it points to something. So miracles and signs were God's signature that he was upon Jesus' ministry. It was the official designation that he was sent by heaven and that his message was true. And he pointed the way. You know, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so it was something dramatic and something amazing that happened when Jesus came. Jesus came to show us what God was really like. Again, that he is real, that he cares, that he wants to be involved in people's lives. And so what are some of the miracles and signs that followed the ministry of Jesus? Well, if you want to know that, a partial listing is found in Luke 7. And let me just read this to you from the Message translation. Luke 7, verse 18. We can put that up there. John's disciples reported back to him the news of all these events taking place. And he sent two of them to the master, who's Jesus, to ask the question, "Are you the one we've been expecting, or are we still waiting?" The men showed up before Jesus and said, "John the Baptizer sent us to ask you, are you the one we've been expecting, or are we still waiting?" In the next 2 or 3 hours, Jesus healed many from diseases, distress, and evil spirits. To many of the blind, he gave the gift of sight. Then he gave his answer. Go back and tell John what you have just seen and heard. The blind see. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. The wretched of the earth have God's salvation, hospitality extended to them. So we're talking about miracles, signs, and wonders. These are earmarks of God's power. These are earmarks of God's love. They represent Jesus. They represent the message. God backed up Jesus. When he preached and when he taught, he backed it up with healing. He backed it up with miracles. Acts 10:38, one of my favorite verses, and I love this verse, and I love to put myself in this verse. Acts 10:38, how God anointed. He rubbed himself on, and he smeared himself all over Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all. Not a few special ones, not a few chosen ones. He healed all who were oppressed by the devil. And that's a lot of people. For God was with him. The disciples followed in the tradition of their teacher, their master. Acts chapter 3. Let's look at that. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. And I'm just sharing, a representation of the book of Acts and what the disciples did in the book of Acts. Acts 3, verse 1. And now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." And so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And so he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. I guess so. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Goes on to say that he was 40 years old. He had that condition for 40 years. And so I don't know what you've been dealing with today. If something's been in your life for years and years, this is good news for you. There's a lot of debate today in the church among Christians. Not in the world, because they don't talk about these things. There's a lot of debate in Christian circles about whether or not miracles, signs, and wonders passed away with the apostles. One of my commentaries that I have, and I just read it over the weekend, talks about this. And this is a well-known, famous preacher, scholar, Bible scholar, that says that miracles passed away with the apostles. That age of miracles have passed. I feel like going out and just burning the book, but there's some other stuff in there that's good. So I keep it. But when I read it, it makes me mad. And it makes me want to say, and no offense to anybody, you idiot. All this Bible learning, all this training, and you've missed the Gospels, and you missed the book of Acts, and you missed Paul's writings, and you missed all in the Old Testament pointing to Jesus. But there's one verse that clearly answers this question about whether miracles, signs, and wonders have passed away. One verse that answers the question, it's Hebrews 13, verse 8, that says, I'll give them a second to put it up there. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, I'll say it again. How about I read in the Message translation? Message translation. We got that? For Jesus doesn't change. Yesterday, today, or tomorrow, He's always totally Himself. I mean, and you know, I know you've been to camp and you're tired, but that's a good time to go, woohoo! Yeah! Miracles, signs, and wonders are still available to us in the church today in 2015. Take that to Facebook. They have not passed away, but they're not happening everywhere. I'll let you be the judge of whether they're happening at a Good News Church. But if they're happening here, I can tell you why. Turn over to John 14. John chapter 14. And everybody that wants to be a life giver, everybody that believes in empowerment, everybody wants to do the works of Christ, this is one of your verses right here. John 14, verse 12, it says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, and this is Jesus talking, I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do. Because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you read in the Great Commission, which my definition of my verses for the Great Commission are Matthew 28, Mark 16, and Acts chapter 1. Some people just use Matthew 28. All three of those are, to me, a part of the Great Commission. But if we're not having miracles, signs, and wonders, which should be the trademark of the church, it's found because in John 14 it says, if we don't believe, if we don't expect, or we don't know about miracles, signs, and wonders, if we don't believe that He's still doing it today, guess what? It's not going to happen. He's a faith God. He rewards those that walk by faith. And so if we don't believe and we're not expecting miracles, it's not going to happen. And so we've got to raise our expectancy. We've got to talk about these things. We've got to have training in these things. And we got this weekend coming up, the I Give Life weekend. This is a perfect weekend for training. Well, I've never done a miracle before. Well, come on and learn. I mean, you can learn. I was a trained accountant. I was trained in these things. And you, I don't know, whatever area, if you're in the military or whatever, you've been trained in things. You were taught. You were shown how to do it. You were led in how to do it. Well, it's the same thing with these things. We're taught these things. They don't just happen because you got saved one day. They just don't happen because you sit in church. They don't just happen because you hear messages. The only thing that happens of the things that you hear are the things that you act upon, the things that you believe in. And we don't realize in the Great Commission there was a transfer of authority to the church. Jesus said, go. And when he said, go, the power and the authority that was on him, he released it to the church. And he's now given us the power of attorney. I know about power of attorney. I've had it in my life. And I've done a will. And what power of attorney is I give someone else the authority to act in my behalf. And if they have the power of attorney and I'm not capable of acting for myself, then that person can act on my behalf and they can use my name and do things in my name. And all the power and authority I have is now available to them because they've been given power of attorney. Well, Jesus has given power of attorney to the church. He's given power of attorney to believers. And the same power and authority that was on him, he's now delegated to the church. But the big question is, do we believe? Do we believe? Let's look over it in Mark 16. And again, I count this part of the Great Commission. Mark 16, verse 15. Now, Nate, you're ready to share today, right? Sure. I want you to share that, one of the many testimonies that have been happening. I think you know one of them I know to share. Mark 16, verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. You need to underline that in your Bible. These signs will follow those who believe. Do I have any believers in the house today? I'm talking about you then. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. Now take your finger and point right, put it right between your eyes. Say, he's talking about me. And these signs will follow those who believe. You see, you want to have an exciting life. You're looking for some adventure. You want to have some thrills? You want to live on the edge? In my name, they will cast out demons.
Come on.
Who woke up today expecting to deal with some demons? Lord, bring all the demon-possessed people to me. It's so funny, in the early days, Eddie has been with us for a long time. I don't know how he's survived all this happened, but all the demon-possessed people we used to deal with, we used to give them to Eddie. They'd act up in the service. Ushers would take them out. Eddie, go deal with them. So if you want to know about dealing with demons, talk to Eddie. Ask Eddie. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he has received up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. Amen. Signs are supposed to follow those who believe. Every time the gospel is preached, we should expect supernatural signs to be present in some form. See, the power is in the gospel. The power is in the good news. It's not a power that you have in yourself. It's in God. They should accompany us everywhere we go because they are a part of our supernatural arsenal. Miracles don't happen because we are saved. Miracles happen because we believe. We should be expecting the miraculous to happen around us all the time. We should be expecting it every day. We should be expecting that when we lay hands on the sick, they will recover. If someone is demon-possessed, we should expect those demons to leave. While we don't speak in our name, we speak in the name of Jesus. It is not our power, it's all of heaven backing up that name. He's given us power of eternity. And when we're standing there using the name, it's like Jesus himself is standing there. We're in Christ. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And when we speak, all of heaven will back up our words if we speak in his name. And so miracles aren't happening in every church in Augusta. And I'm not against them. But if they don't preach about it, and if they don't talk about it, if they don't expect it, if they believe it's passed away, it's not going to happen. Now, every once in a while, you know, something may happen, but they have no idea how it happened or why. They you know, played three songs and did a little dance and did this, and something happened, and so then they're going to go try to do that same thing. But this is a proven way. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel about Jesus. Preach the gospel about how Jesus came in a man, how God sent him to come and to live and to die and to be raised on the third day, that he took our sin. He took our sickness. He took our poverty. He took our spiritual death upon him so that we could live, so we could be healed. But also then he sent his Holy Spirit. And that's the big deal about the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came and filled us up just like he came upon Jesus. So not only so that we could feel good and so that we could be comfortable, but so that we could do the works of Christ, the same works that he did, we can now do. Amen. We're not waiting on him. He's waiting on us. The church has got to wake up. And we've just had some situations recently where miracles were performed and pastors got mad about it. I mean, that's biblical. But I don't really care. And I love them and I'm for them. And I won't name names, but I don't really care. I'm a believer, and I'm going to do the works of Christ because the Bible promised me that I can, and I've seen too much, and I've been ruined, and I've been brainwashed, and I'm not going back. I'm not going back to doubt and unbelief. I'm not going to do it. So I'm sorry you're mad, but maybe you'll get riled up. Maybe you'll get so mad, you'll go back and look at the Word again. Maybe it's real. How can you be mad about someone being healed? Give me a break. Now, I understand. And what happens is, and you really got to guard yourself from this, because sometimes you hear about things from the Word, and then you try it, and it doesn't work. And because of your experience, you'll back off. And that's natural, right? And, you know, I remember the first person I prayed for in San Diego. I was in a mission trip to San Diego. And it was with a lot of people that didn't believe in miracles. And they knew that I was just learning these things. And I was just talking. I was so excited about God and sharing some of the things I'd been reading and studying in the Word. And so they kind of, some people in the group kind of set me up. They wanted me to fall flat on my face. And so there was someone that was sick. And so they called me over because I'm the man of faith and I believe in miracles, and called and basically said, you know, perform a miracle. And, you know, I didn't really realize all that was going on, but anyway, I saw I went. And I prayed for them, and nothing happened. And it was discouraging. But you know what I did? I didn't give up. I didn't just say, oh, well, I'm just going to throw it out, forget all those things. No, I went back to the Word. Went back to the Word and began to continue to dig in, to continue to believe, to continue to confess who I am in Christ. Continue to go back and look at Mark 16. What does it really say? Continue to go back to the Gospels. Continue to look at the ministry of Jesus. Did he turn anybody away? He went about preaching, teaching, and healing. I'm in him. If God's anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power, I'm anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. So I didn't give up. And I ended up having a lot of miracles that summer. To me personally. And I actually saw my first person healed before the summer was over. And so maybe you've had a bad experience, or maybe you prayed for somebody. Hey, don't give up. Don't quit. Don't draw back. It's real. It works. Learn, grow, study, keep on believing, keep on expecting. Encourage you to come out next weekend. Come to the I Give Life training. Come and be around Jeremy Gall. It's like a miracle clinic every time he comes. Well, I think at this point I'm going to turn it over to Nate. Nate, share some testimonies.
We are a part of an organization called Electric Cathedral. It's a combined outreach service for 20 and 30-somethings. Many of you who are in that age range have been a part of it. And we've been a part of it since its inception back in March of last year. And through just a series of events, I've come to be the director of operations for this organization. And it's not a position I asked for. It's not something I was longing to do. It's just more responsibility, really. But it comes with a bit of influence. And so we had a gathering on Monday night. We had planned to have a panel of speakers, different leaders and pastors in the area speak about the purpose of the local church and the impact of it. Well, come to find out, some of the other speakers on the panel, everybody backed out before the last weekend, and it meant something else needed to take place. And so we decided, I talked with our executive director. I said, you know, what should we do here? Maybe I should just speak. And so we decided that would be the best course of action and the way to proceed with this unexpected turn of events. And so I just kind of was wrestling on the inside about what am I going to share, you know? Am I going to give just kind of a fluff message, something surface level? And you have to understand about this organization that it's a conglomeration of denominations and doctrines and backgrounds, people who believe all sorts of things. And so when we get together, there's some subjects that may be taboo for other people or may be controversial. And so I was thinking about this, praying about it, and I said, well, maybe I'll just do a message about, you know, a new creation reality. And so I sat down on my computer or my iPad on Monday and started typing up a message about identity in Christ. And I had 3 pages of notes, and just the Holy Spirit began to deal with me on the inside, and God told me to delete everything. So on a whim, I just obeyed, you know, control A, delete. That's computer speak for you guys. So I deleted everything, wiped it out. And I was kind of floored by what I just did, because I just spent several hours working on this. Now what? And I just felt an impression, almost an audible impression from the Holy Spirit saying, talk about miracles. I say, what? I can't talk about miracles here. We're trying to unify, and this could be controversial. What will they think? What will they say? What will they do? What's going to happen? And then he just impressed on my heart this question, do you trust me? And, you know, this relationship that we have with Jesus, with God, it's all about trust. It's all about trust. It's all about, do we obey his word? Do we understand? Do we believe his word? And do we act on his word? That's trust. When you got saved, you communicated that you trust him. And you got to trust him not just with your eternity, but with your day to day and everything that he's asking you to do. And so he says, do you trust me? And I'm like, well, I think I do. this is kind of big, though. I mean, but if I'm going to trust him with my eternity, why shouldn't I trust him with something that seems big to me here on earth. And so I said, okay, I'll do it. And actually, in the midst of that kind of, you know, wrestling with God, Pastor Susie walks in. She's like, what you doing? And she throws a little gas on the fire, and I tell her what's going on. And she's like, yeah, you should do it. You should totally do it. Who cares what they think? Who cares what they say? I'm terrified. On the inside, I'm like, what do I do? What do I say? And so I spent, you know, the rest of the afternoon just praying in the Spirit. And you know, I wanted to get in tune with God. I wanted to say what he wanted me to say, because there's a right way and a wrong way to approach it in this environment. You understand what I'm saying? Pastor, this message probably would not have flew over on Monday night. So I approached it in a different manner and talked about how I've come to believe that miracles are true and real, and that believers can work miracles. And I get to the, you know, I'm terrified before I go up on stage, but when I go up on stage, it's like the presence of God and the peace of God kind of overwhelms me and takes over. And it was the most surreal experience I've ever had in ministry. It's almost like I could see myself preaching from a distance. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. Weird. I look back on it, and the next morning I'm like, was that a dream? You know, it felt like a dream. But it wasn't a dream. It was real, and it took place, and people were there, and they witnessed it, and they experienced it. So I give the message about miracles, and I share a lot of the same scriptures that Pastor shared this morning, and get to the end of it, and I'm like, now what? You know, typically at these gatherings, we'll do worship, a local pastor will preach a message, and then they'll say a short prayer, thanking God for his word, and there's hardly ever an invitation or a response. And so I'm, you know, I get to the end of this thing. It's like, now what? I know what I've seen. I know what I've experienced. I know what I should probably do. But this isn't going to be comfortable for anybody, myself included. And so I was like, okay, well, let's just go for it. I mean, I've come this far. I've already pushed the envelope. Let's just step over the edge here. So... And sometimes that's what you got to do. Sometimes you just got to talk yourself into some stuff. You know, sometimes you got to just reject timidity and reject what everybody else will think and just step over the edge. Sink or swim. Let's go for it. As Grayson would say, that's for somebody. So I decided I'm just going to go for it. I said, does anybody here need a miracle? Does anybody need healing in their body? So this guy, young guy sitting in the very back of the room, he raises his hand. I was like, all right, cool. Come on up here. And man, the tension just like shot up in the room. It was so thick. I was telling the students this on Thursday night. It was so thick you could cut it with a spork. You didn't even need a knife. Tension was so high, man. Awkward and uncomfortable. I could sense everybody's eyes just like piercing through me. What in the world is he doing? And I thought to myself, what in the world am I doing? So he comes up there, I ask him what's going on. He said, I have hip surgery about a year ago, and it's been in pain ever since. And, yeah, that's what's going on. So we did what believers do, true believers do. We laid hands on the sick. I commanded the pain to go in the name of Jesus. And then I asked him, well, what's happening? What's going on? How's it feel? And he's kind of got this kind of shocked and confused look on his face, almost like a slight grin. And he's like, my hip, my thigh is numb. And I was like, is that normal? He's like, it's numb, and it's like kind of the muscles twitching and stuff. And I was like, is that normal? He said, no, nothing like that was happening before you prayed for me. Something's going on here. And I was like, well, how's your pain? He's like, I can't feel anything. It's like, well, that's better, right? At this point, I really didn't know what to do. Like, should I send him back or pray for him again? So I was like, okay, well, let's just pray again. Something's going on. Let's pray again. So I pray for him again. And he's like, yeah, it's the same. Like, he's like visibly moved by this thing. I was like, okay, cool, man. This is great. Great. And so send him back to his seat. Another girl came up and, we prayed for her. Nothing really spectacular happened with her. So we had a couple of girls kind of who believe the same that we do, and really were influenced a year ago by Jeremy Gall, because they came to the church and experienced that and have been working miracles ever since. So they worked with this girl in the front row, and so I kind of sensed my time was was done and I need to move on. So I give an invitation for salvation, And the guy who had come up to be prayed for, he raises his hand and gives his life to Jesus. It's a sign and a wonder to him. It's kind of really confirmed some stuff for him. And so then I say, okay, you know, if maybe for whatever reason you didn't want to come forward and get prayed for, I'm going to stand right down here, and while the worship team is singing, you come down here and we'll pray for you. And so I step down from the stage, from the platform, and like a couple of people are kind of making a beeline. This one young girl, she's probably early 20s, she comes making a beeline towards me, and she walks up to me and she says, I want you to pray. I've got this arthritis and pain in my neck. And then she just kind of does this, and she's like, and she starts crying. He said, it's gone. I didn't touch her. I didn't say a word. I mean, it was clearly evident that God is in this thing, right? And she starts crying. I start crying. I'm like, oh, this is amazing. This is incredible. A couple more people come forward. We pray for them, and they're healed. And so I've been following up with this guy with the hip thing. And kind of reached out to him on Facebook, friended him, messaged him, and got his number, been texting back and forth with him. And I said, hey, man, what's going on? And, you know, how things are going. Then he posted on Facebook about he got good news from the doctor today. So he had a follow-up visit from the doctor and he said he's had more range of motion than he's had in years. So I asked him about this because it was kind of a vague post. Like, and I thought, well, what happened? So I texted him. I was like, you know, what happened, man? Why'd you have to go to the doctor? Were you doing like some crazy CrossFit moves after you got healed on Monday or what, man? Like what happened? And it was apparently the doctor's visit had been scheduled beforehand, before Monday night. So he sent me this. He says, I'm an amateur MMA fighter. I tore the labrum last year. I had surgery. It's been a process. I thought I re-injured it a few weeks ago. I actually know I did. I landed a push kick and something happened, but miraculously, the x-rays were negative. Answered prayer for sure. And again, he said he's had more range of motion than he's had in years. So something happened, and something's continuing to happen in this guy. And God's in the miracle business, isn't he? He's in the miracle business. He wants to confirm his word with signs following. And to me, Monday night was one of the most difficult things I've had to do in ministry, I believe, up to this point. Probably going to be more difficult things to do and challenging things and things that I'll have to sink or swim, jump off the edge about more in the future, because I believe that he's calling all of us to step out of the boat, isn't he? Calling all of us to walk on water and do things maybe we haven't done before, do things that would make us perhaps a little uncomfortable. But that's where his power and his presence shows up. That's where when you trust him and you surrender to him, he takes over, and the lady walks up to you and you don't say a word. You don't have to put your hand on her, and she's experienced the miraculous in an instant because of the power of God that's present. Now, don't think that's just going to happen because you're walking around and like, oh, yeah, I've got the presence of God in me, so my shadow is going to work on people. I mean, that happened in the book of Acts, but the precursor to that was the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation and healing and the miraculous. So the gospel has to be preached, and you have to preach the gospel just in the same way that the gospel's been preached today. That Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that he's totally himself. Not just a shadow of him, his former self. He's not just the Jesus who preached the Sermon on the Mount and told us to be good. And blessed are those who, you know, seek and hunger and thirst after. He's the Jesus who performed miracles. He's the Jesus who healed the sick, who opened blind eyes. He's the Jesus who unstopped deaf ears. He is the same Jesus as he was in the Gospels. He's the same Jesus that gave his life for you so that you could experience life now. Amen? Amen. Do you believe today? Do you believe? If you need a miracle, would you just, let's everybody stand up for a second. If you need a miracle, you want somebody to pray for you, would you just step out of your seat and come on down? It's only fitting that you respond to the gospel this morning. The gospel's clear. The gospel's plain. The gospel's simple. If you need a miracle, you need healing in your body, just come down front. We'll pray for you. Believers will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Hallelujah. Awesome. Cool. You guys can line up. Very good. And we believe in empowerment here, so I'm going to have some young people pray for you. Coming up here, Josh, Tori, RJ. Let's get you worked on first, and then you can turn around and pray for some people. All right, cool. All right, you guys ask them what's going on, and command the pain to go. Hallelujah. There we go. Very good. Got some more folks over here. Macy? Yeah. Come on, Crimson. Right here. Hallelujah. Let's just give God thanks. Right over here. Cody, come over here, buddy. Let's minister to these guys. Awesome. Eric, come up. Got some other folks here. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, that your presence is here. Your power is on the scene to perform the miraculous. You are a miracle-working God. Signs follow those who believe, and so we thank you. We thank you that believers are laying hands on the sick and they're recovering instantly in the name of Jesus. We command the power of God to flow through these bodies to bring about a healing and a cure. In Jesus' name, every pain, leave in the name of Jesus. Every pain, go in Jesus' name. Every tumor, every sickness, go in Jesus' name. Everything that doesn't line up with the will of God in these bodies, we command it to leave in Jesus' name. We command headaches to go. We command tumors to dissolve. We command cancer to be removed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We thank you for the miraculous today. We thank you for the miraculous today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep pressing through. Keep pressing in the name of Jesus. God's best for you today is the miraculous. God's best for you today is to be healed in an instant. God's best for you today is to be completely restored and whole in the name of Jesus. That's God's best for you today. God's best for you today is to leave here different than when you came in here. Leave here with pain gone in Jesus' name. Leave here rejoicing, walking, leaping, jumping, praising God because of what He's done in your midst. Because of what He's done in your body. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. Better. Better, 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 better in the name of Jesus. Better in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Cool, 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 cool. So yeah, who got prayed for and something's different? Something's changed? I want to testify. Bryce, where are you at, man? Did he go walking, leaping, and praising God? I heard him shout. What happened, man? You came up here for prayer? Come on. Let's just testify. Give God glory. Give God glory about what happened. Yeah. Did you get prayed for up here? Yeah, come on. What happened? What happened?
I'm not sore anymore. Cha-ching!
Okay, so you were sore when you came up here. Like just muscles aching your whole leg. The mega relay has made him sore. Yeah, so he did a lot of running. His muscle is sore. He got prayed for, and then look at him go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody else? Come on, Josh. Awesome. What happened, man?
Well, I was praying over Brenda over there, and she said her foot had been bothering her, and she'd gone to the doctor and tried to get some medicine for it and that kind of deal, but there was still pain there. So I asked her if I could pray over it, and she said yes, and I laid hands on her, and at first, just a little bit of the pain had gone. I said, that won't do. We have to pray over it again.
That's right.
So she took her shoe off. I prayed over her heel, and she was healed. She was able to walk on it. She saw her testing it out. She was, so, yeah, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Woo. Amen. Amen. Oh, you could do better than that. I mean, give God glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God's good. That's a hallelujah right there. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody else? You got a testimony? Yeah. What's happened with you?
At camp, my tent had been infested with ants, and I got, like, bit, like, 12 times. And when they were praying for me, I felt like most of the bites just, like, sort of tingle and, like, sort of fade away. They don't hurt as bad, but, I mean, like, I know that I could get healed all the way. It just didn't happen all the way.
Yeah. Well, let's take care of the rest of it. In the name of Jesus, we command these ant bites and the poison to be removed and leave in Jesus' name. Pain completely go. All of it gone in Jesus' name. Complete 100%. 100% in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now just move it around. Move your hand around. There you go. Feels good, huh?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
All right, man. Awesome. RJ, pray for him some more. He needs another dose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Come on. Come on. Yeah. Sorry. You just rush the stage next time.
So, my neck has been hurting me so bad for the past, I don't know, I think it's been like a month and a half or so. And it's been so stiff. And every single time I couldn't even turn it to the side. That's how bad it's been. And then these wonderful young people came and prayed for me, and now I can have full range of motion on my neck.
Woo! Glory to God.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, you can dance a little bit too. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's just give God praise. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. God, you're so glorious. Thank you for the miraculous. Thank you for doing what you do. Yesterday, today, and forever. Always the same. It's always your will for us to be healed and whole, as much as it is your will for us to be saved and enter into a relationship with you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. I want to give you an opportunity today to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe it's your first time here. Maybe you've been coming for a while and you've never entered into relationship with the Heavenly Father through Jesus, His Son. He made a way so that we could be saved, so that we could be delivered from darkness and destruction. God sent His beloved Son, His only begotten Son, because He loves us. And He wanted to make a way for you to be rescued. We ask the people this question: if you were to die today or 100 years from now, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? If you can answer that question with a no or I'm not sure, today is your day to know and to be sure. And you say, that's me. I want to know for sure that I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Would you pray with me? Would you just lift your hand up right where you are and say, hey, that's me. I want to know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. I want to accept Jesus as my Savior right now. Let's lift your hand. Anybody? Praise God. Amen. We're going to say this prayer together because maybe you were too shy to lift your hand. You didn't want to do that. We've seen that happen time and time again. People were just, you know, not very bold to raise their hand, but still you want to make that decision and you want to say this prayer. You don't get saved because you walk an aisle. You don't get saved because you raise your hand. You get saved because of what takes place in your heart. You believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you confess with your mouth that He is Lord, and you will be saved. And so let's do that together. Everybody would just say this after me. God in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins and to take my place. Jesus, I confess you as my Lord. I accept you as my Savior. And you accept me as your son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you said that prayer for the first time, we've got some prayer partners that are going to be standing up here. I want you to introduce yourself to them. They've got some resources for you, some things they want to give to you. Hallelujah. Anything else? Okay. Amen.
Let me handle it. Praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful today for Jesus? Aren't you thankful for all he's done? Hallelujah. You know, it's not enough that you came and you heard. That's only half of it. Now you go and you do. You come and you hear and you go and you do. You come and you hear and you go and you do. You come and hear and then you go and you do. That's your part. So what you've seen here and heard here is not even for here. It's for out there. Because he said, go out into the world and do this. So sometimes people think healing's just for church. No, healing's for out there. We just train in here. We just inspire in here, just instruct and demonstrate. But it's for out there. So go out there and do it. You do it. I mean, you saw young people up here doing it. Surely if they can do it, you older ones can do it as well. It's the same Jesus. And he's still totally himself, even out there. Amen. Praise God. I want to remind you of a couple things. We have we'll end our service. Prayer partners will be here, as Nate said. They'll be here, can minister to you further if you need that. We have invite you back to the atrium for some refreshments. Today at 5 o'clock, we're going to be up at the lake. There's information about that in your bulletin. And so invite everybody. Everybody's invited. Just come. And we'll do that at 5. And then next, this coming Friday night, right here at 7 o'clock, we're going to start training, and you got a little taste of it today. We're going to do a lot more training Friday nights and Saturday morning than at 9:30, and we're going to train you in all this. You'll learn how to get people saved. You'll learn just exactly what to do, how to get someone saved, how to get somebody. You'll be instructed further about what to do, and you know, not just said go minister to somebody. You'll learn what to do, and so that you can do just what Jesus did, and that's what this is about. And then next Sunday morning, again, Jeremy Gall will be here. And like Matt said, we'll have a miracle clinic for about 4 services. That's right. If anybody wants to be baptized, we have a couple of people signed up to be baptized. But if anybody else wants to be baptized in water, we haven't talked about it very much. But if you want to be baptized at the lake, that's special. It's different than this water. It's the lake. You know, really more authentic. That's going to be happening tonight while we're at the lake too, and you can get baptized. Kristen will come stand right here, and you can come up and mention that to her. Anything else? Oh, I did want to mention a number of you have been talking to me about CADA, about Christo's Empowerment Training Academy, that we're starting in the fall. First class starts September 15th. Sign up. Lots of people signed up, but we still have all the way through September 1st, but I've been doing interviews already. If you're interested in that, you haven't submitted an application, or you want further information, stop by the info desk, and Rhonda Ball will give you information and give you an application. Praise God. Well, let's pray before we go. Father, we thank you today that you're a God who demonstrates yourself. We're so glad that we don't just have a belief system based in an ancient book, but we have a relationship with the living God who is here and present among us and in us and never leaves us and never forsakes us. We're so thankful that not only did you show yourself strong through Jesus, but you are willing to show yourself strong and really very much wanting to show yourself strong through your people today. And we thank you for that. Father, I pray for all of us in Jesus' name that there would be opportunities open up this week. Opportunities to do what we just were taught, to step out and to be bold. And I pray for a boldness to come upon us. Father, in the book of Acts, when people were baptized in the Holy Spirit, one of the first things we see is they began to be bold. And these people, many are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we thank you for boldness in Jesus' name. We are bold people, and boldness is rising up in us. And we thank you for that, Father, lives being changed. We give you glory and honor, and we say, just as Jesus said when he sent out his disciples, we declare that nothing shall by any means hurt us. We're going out in a dark world, but we are the light of the world, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys.